May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Amen. 'Twas the night before Christmas, when all through the church, all creatures' minds were still on their merch that they'd hidden in closets with stealthy care, that were now festooned, but the children knew where. No, I didn't rewrite that whole poem, but you wish I did, though, don't you? Yeah, exactly, right? This American classic reminds me of how, God can come to us. You know, that's the name of that poem is Visit from St. Nicholas, right? So, yeah, God comes to us. We're not expecting it. It's a great story, right? And we're supposed to feel a certain way in this time of anticipation, right? And there's this famous three-letter word that we throw around a lot, and it's joy, right? We're supposed to feel joy. Well, joy doesn't just come, though, with us being told to, though, does it? Do you enjoy watching or even rewatching the Christmas movies that come on every year? Anybody got any favorites you like to see? My favorite in my personal canon is A Charlie Brown Christmas. I had to rewatch it the other day. Yes, The Charlie Brown Christmas. You know, it's a story about one boy's existential crisis about how he just didn't feel like it was Christmas. The story began with a very, if you're not familiar, I know some of you are very young and you probably don't know who Charlie Brown is, right? Who doesn't know who Charlie Brown is? Come on, be proud. Oh, really? Everybody knows who Charlie Brown is? Well, good. The story begins with this very forlorn Charlie Brown, right? And he's talking to Linus. I think there must be something wrong with me. Christmas is coming, but I'm not happy. I don't feel the way I'm supposed to feel. I just don't understand Christmas, I guess. And then he goes to Lucy. Remember, she's got that psychiatry stand that she sets up, right? And he tells her, I'm in a sad space. My trouble is Christmas. I just don't understand it. Instead of feeling happy, I feel sort of let down. You know, it's not a mystery that stress increases during this holiday season, right? And we know what stress can lead to, all kinds of bad things, illness, depression, anxiety, substance abuse, so all kinds of bad things, right? And we cite things like, oh, I just don't have enough time, there's financial pressure, gift-giving pressure, and of course, those uncomfortable family gatherings when drunk uncle goes on a racist rant about how the 7-Eleven clerk can't speak English. You've been there. Do you feel the way that you're supposed to feel? How do you know? Are you in an existential crisis like that of Charlie Brown? Well, you know, I remember growing up as a kid, the anticipation of it. I remember the Sears, they had a special edition, the Sears catalog. Remember catalogs? Remember that? When you used to have yeah. They would call the one around Christmas, they'd call it the wish book. And I can remember poring over those pages. Oh, my goodness. And the yearning, and it's like, I I'm so anticipating Christmas morning. But repeatedly, over and over and over again, Christmas came and the presents got opened and it turned that mound of merchandise under the tree into a fireplace kindling. And I can remember feeling, wow, that was it? All that anticipation for nothing. For that? I sure hope there's some good desserts. Well, our Christmas story from Luke knows the world of this kind of crisis and this kind of resignation, you know. The world was in a situation with circumstances that were all out of anyone's control, with the Romans and their overreaching government being only concerned with fulfilling their agenda. Now, when biblical, and back in the biblical days, when a government took a census It wasn't because they were trying to get a congressional reapportionment. It was an oppression. And this is what moved the Christmas story that we know, and we just heard Father Scott read it again. The Christmas story reminds us that our God is the Lord of history. Now, this theme, by the way, is something that goes all through the Bible. And that's the way it was then, and that's the way it is now. But it may be that emperors and kings and, yes, some presidents may even act like they're in charge of everything. But the Christmas story leaps into our lives, and it says, no. No, they're not in charge. Being Lord of history doesn't mean that God is the great marionette master in the sky, by the way. What God does is bend history. Yes, even bad history, okay? God bends history in a way that fashions it into a future and a hope, no matter what it looks like to you or anybody. Luke had a story about Mary, and she was married to this guy that was, engaged, right? But practically, in that, as far as that world was concerned, married, right? Of Davidic lineage, Joseph. And so they had to go to Bethlehem for this thing. You know, things happen in the world. Things happen in life that may look wrong. It may even look like the government is running amok. But you know what? What this story tells us is that God is at work, even if we don't have a clue. Only the eyes of faith can see what God is doing in something. Now, Charlie Brown, he couldn't see what God was doing either, right? Do you remember that part of the where he has this? He's in charge of the Christmas play, and he picks out this tree. Remember the tree? It was more like just a twig, right? It wasn't much, right? And everybody makes fun of his tree, and he's so embarrassed, you know, he turns red. Ah! Is there anyone who knows what Christmas is all about? He cries out in a forlorn way, and who steps up to come to his aid but his good friend Linus? Sure, Charlie Brown, I can tell you what Christmas is all about. So he walks onto the stage and he asks for lights. And then he quotes, the King James version of the Christmas story you just heard, right? You know, the shepherds abiding in a field by night and all of that. And the angel coming and saying, fear not, behold, and for unto you a son is born. All of that, right? Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill towards man, right? That's what Christmas is all about, Charlie Brown. And that was his mic drop moment. Linus, right? By the way, did you know that the first pope after Peter was named Linus? Did you know that? Yeah. Well, now you're smarter for having come to church tonight. Christmas is about God coming to humanity when and where we would least expect it. And God comes to the hurt and the lonely, to the oppressed and the exploited. God shows up as caring in a time when populist thinking said the way is to not care. In Luke's Christmas story, we see how God shows up in the unexpected, especially when we're unconscious and clueless. And it's not easy to see. We might not be able to see what God is doing most of the time, but because things just don't look or even feel good most of the time, and we love to go on our feelings. We tend to get caught up, you know, in the drama of the day. But the Christmas story reminds us that God's way is grace. God's way is hope. God's way is light. And you can only know what light is when you've experienced darkness. Yeah. The shepherds, where were they? They were in the dark until the angels showed up, right? Well, that's where we are. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill towards y'all. This angelic refrain points to how God is already in favor of all humanity. There are no favorites, even if we have favorites. The gift of a Savior is truly for everyone, period. And if the gift weren't for everyone, then how could it truly be good news? Linus was making the point to Charlie Brown that Christmas is God coming to us. That is how God does things. That is how God brings us our King. That is how God brings us our Savior. This is how God brings us joy. You can't take a pill to get joy. Joy is a gift. It's got to be received, you see? We can't work to feel joy. It's a gift. So, I don't know, maybe you're a little like Charlie Brown. Maybe you're left with, like, my feeling when I was a kid of, like, wow, is this all there is? Well, you know what? The answer can never be contained by just what our eyes are seeing or what by our ears are hearing. And it's certainly not found in what the headlines say or what leads the nightly news. And if you enjoy hearing bad news about people you don't like, yeah, or good news about people you do, you know what? You're just not going to see Christmas. God is in the business of surprising us at just the time that we think things are, like, you heard the expression, going to hell in a handbasket. That's when God shows up. In the nativity story, God is creating a new world where all people have hope. There is salvation and there is balm for the soul. And it is precisely when we have given up that God will deign to come to us. How? In the ordinariness of life. The nativity story of birth of a baby is a very ordinary story. But God likes to surprise us. So, look for the extraordinary in the ordinary. Look for what is there to be had in simply what's so. Look for God when it feels like God can't be very near at all. Open your eyes and your heart to that refreshing breeze of God's love, which is right there, ready to transform you right where you are right now. Oh, and you see these banners? These are Bethlehem things that we do for the Christmas and Epiphany. The Bethlehem banners were hung in the nave, mindfully knowing that Christ came to save. And I heard angels sing as day passed to night, "Happy Christmas to all, as God brings us light." To the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. Amen.